Scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The word of God for the people of God.
Morning, friends. I wanted to open with a quick example this morning. I was listening to Pastor Amy's sermon last week, and I was reminded of something that our confirmation class heard on one of our visits. If you don't know about our class, typically the way we've got it set up is we have some class period in the fall, and then in this winter time period, we go and visit different places such as the Islamic Center or St. Al's, or we went up to a Jewish synagogue. And I remember on this visit, we were talking with the rabbi, and he was showing us some of the different symbols, some of the things of their religion. I know Wendy has shown some of our kids here the shofar, and so he had one of those with them. But one of the things that caught my attention, and I remember when I listened to Amy's sermon, was something, a prayer shawl they have called a tallit. Now, typically in service, it goes over the shoulders, and at the edges or the ends of this prayer shawl are little tiny fringes, like tassels, and those are called zitzits, spelled in a very different way than it sounds. But for Jews, these little zitzits are more than just a decoration. They are knots that are a reminder for them that the Torah commandments should guide their life. He told us these little zitzits, if you take the numerical value of the word zitzit, it comes out to 600. Then if you add the number of threads in one of these zitzits, you get the number 8, so add that together, you have 608. Add 5 more for the number of knots, and you get the number 613. I don't know if anybody knows what that number is, but it stands for the number of commandments in the Torah. There are a few more than the 10 we tend to talk about most. And what I remember is that this prayer shawl in these tiny little zitzits, something small, something seemingly insignificant, was one more way of reminding them that the Word of God, Torah, was to shape their everyday life. Even the smallest things had significance infused. And as we've been talking in this series for Lent, as we're looking at faith in busyness or faith in home, we are reminded that our faith ought to touch every corner of our life. That it doesn't just stay here at church or in Sunday school. If you were with us last week, we heard from the Socorros, right? They talked about how faith was worked out in their home. They talked about how they grew up in their faith and what it means to them now, and they even discussed how their faith influences how they parent to their children. The scripture last week said part of this, and I heard it when I thought, it said, "Keep these words that I'm commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children, and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise up. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." They told us what it was like, of course, to recite them to your children. And so we continue today as to talk about how do we have our faith incorporated into these various pieces of our lives. And now I specifically want to talk about today how we bring faith into our busyness. I probably don't have to tell many of you that we live in an overscheduled and quite busy world. You probably have calendars at home, whether it's on your phone or a pad, that just is full of appointments and things to get to, right? For young families, for families in our congregation, I know there are all kinds of activities to deal with, whether it's soccer games or basketball games, choir rehearsals, band performances, after-school activities, clubs and meetings. And on top of that, there's just regular life, right? in your schedule, perhaps you've felt how hard it is to get all the things in, right? Whether it's trying to make room for your health. How do you find time to exercise or to eat healthy or to get enough sleep? Or at home, there's many things to do, right? There's dusting and laundry and ironing. Maybe that's just what I need to do when I go home, right? But we live in these schedules that fill up with so many things, and we constantly say we're busy. There's so much going on, we're always busy. And some of you have told me that even after you've retired, you're amazed at how much life seems to just continue being busy, that it seems more busy after retiring from work. But I'm not here to scold you guys. I'm not here to say this is something we all do bad. I want to be honest with you. I'm not great at this either. I tend to let busyness run some things, and my schedule at times can get out of control. So I was sitting this weekend looking at what my next week has in store. And so the next 5 evenings all have something on them. We've got a listening post tonight. In 2 days, on Monday and Tuesday, I'll be in Columbus for conference responsibilities. So both those days are shot. Got a Wednesday, I've got a Wesleyan study. Thursday, a youth event. And even on my day off on Friday, I scheduled a lunch with a colleague because we simply couldn't fit it in anywhere else. And so don't hear me saying that I've got all the answers, but don't hear me complaining either. I love those things. But I find a way of packing my schedule more than I probably should. And so when I hear this scripture that Wendy read for us, I think to myself quite often, man, I'm quite a Martha, right? I have missed the point of the scripture quite a lot because I have let busyness sometimes run my schedule and my life. But I love the story. It's so simple. There's only a few verses. Some of us have probably heard it time and time and time again. But yet, the point still is so important in our life, I think. Because I find myself, as I said, closer to a Martha, someone who is overscheduled. And what I love about this story is that in the midst of everything she's doing, she's trying to get the house clean, she's trying to make sure that the meal is ready, that the table toppers for Jesus' visit is just perfect. But when she gets upset, she talks to Jesus and says, well, you're not making Mary help me. Why is she just sitting there? And what is Jesus' response to that? Martha, I don't care about these things. Why are you so distracted and worried by them? Instead, Jesus points to Mary, the person who sits at Jesus' feet as the best example, who hones in on what's important. For Martha, her busyness had become a distraction. It's not that she wasn't doing the right or good things. It's that she was just doing too many things and had missed the important thing. Martha saw in their midst the Son of God and let everything else slip away to focus on that. So I think the problem with our busyness is it can become a distraction. The danger with busyness is that we can lose sight of our priorities and not invest our time in the most important places. My father had a saying when I was growing up, I used to always hear my father say this one thing. I think it's a bit cheesy, to be honest, but it's a good point. He would say, sometimes we get caught up spending our time on good things, but they might not be God things. In the story, we see Martha get caught up with good things. Hospitality was important. There was expectations of what she was supposed to have done. But Mary saw the God things, right? She let all of it fall away and focused on Jesus. She didn't let the expectations or the busyness or the schedule distract her from what is most important or distract her from life that was happening around her. There's another quote I love from Oscar Wilde. Apparently, he was always, always late. And he would say this, I am always late on principle. My principle being that punctuality is the thief of time. Punctuality is the thief of time. I think that's the danger. We get so worried about trying to fit everything in, to be everywhere at the time we're supposed to be, to have everything completed and done, that we miss the moments. We miss investing our time in important things. We try to schedule it all. But perhaps we fail to invest in places such as our community, our family, our faith. And so, what I think this story does is it encourages us to ask a question during this Lenten season. As we try to draw closer to God, and we try to let our faith work its way into many different parts of our lives, perhaps our busyness needs examined. Perhaps we ought to see if our faith can come into that. That if we have missed some of the important things, if we haven't placed our priorities right and our schedule has gotten away from us. That's a question I hope we can wrestle with throughout Lent. And as we've been going through this series, we've had people giving us their examples, right? Someone like Stan and Rochelle showed us what it was like to let their faith influence their home. And so today I want to give us an example of someone who I think lets their faith influence their busyness and their schedule. And so as we've been doing, I'm going to invite Ed Metzger up to have a chat with Amy, just to talk about some of the ways that his faith and some of his priorities and how he manages those and keeps them in the right balance. So, gang, take it away.
Hey, Ed.
Well, hi.
How's it going?
Hey, how are you?
Yeah.
Hi, choir. How are you guys? I don't care about you guys. Oh, no.
So, Ed, I know many in the congregation may know you, many may not, so why don't you tell us a little bit about the things you're involved in, work, family, church?
Oh, yeah, I don't really do much. I am a kind of a disciplined sort of person. I'm a faithful person. I'm a person of faith, so it's very important to me. I'm also a person of family. I have a wife, three sons. My eldest son, Jacob, many of you know, is developmentally disabled. Jake will turn 40 this coming month, and his acuity is about 18 months, somewhere in that range. So I have three sons. I have two stepsons as well. They're all active, and they all have jobs, and they earn money, which is great. All those good things. But I'm also very, very busy and active in the area in different things, and also in a lot of the things I do at work. Because of Jake and being a parent of, I'm on the Wood County Board of Developmental Disabilities. I'm the president of that organization, and it puts me in charge of several different committees and things like that. It's very time consuming. But it's a joyful thing to do because it's a great organization with great momentum, which Amy and I have talked about this week. really, really good things going on. So that's one of the things I do. I'm also the lay leader of a church in Bowling Green called First United Methodist Church. You may have heard of. Anybody? Yeah. Okay. All right. Good. Do that, but I've been involved in the missions committee here. I used to teach Sunday school, pastor parish relation, those sorts of things. And then on the job side, on the work side of my life, oh wait, I shouldn't go there yet because I hate to use the term athlete. I like to exercise. Let's use that because I'm not really good at it. But I exercise about 250 to 300 minutes a week, somewhere in that range. I'm a nerd. I keep a spreadsheet with all the details and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, so those are the things I do on a social basis. But on the job basis, I'm president of BioFit Engineered Products, which is just north of town. And we're a manufacturer of furniture. And one of the things that we are really well known for is being a leader in science and technology seating. So if somebody has a real critical environment where they're doing manufacturing and things like that, like an Intel or someone like that, they're sitting in our products because we specialize in the way we make chairs and so forth, so they don't produce particles, they don't produce static electricity, they don't produce a lot of things that are real critical in those applications. So on that job requires a lot of effort. Really, my main job as president is to develop and execute our strategy. And so for me, it's a very driving thing for me because I really get into it. And the whole organization, we work on how do we do these things. We have a whole system set up for setting goals and making sure those goals are approached, you know, on a regular basis. But also one of the things that I do is because it's kind of my background with the company is from being in sales is international sales. Because a lot of these technical kinds of applications we find are all over the world. And since we're the leader in that area, I end up going to a lot of these places. In January, I was in Oman and India, where we were meeting and talking about things like that. Another thing that's a part of my job is I'm co-chair of a committee in an organization called the Scientific Equipment and Furniture Association. And we're writing an international standard on lab-grade ergonomic seating, which entails not only laboratory seating, but also clean room and what's called ESD seating or static control seating, those kinds of things. So all that keeps me just a tad on the busy side, I guess, here and there.
Yeah, you're busy.
Sounds like fun, huh?
So you're busy. But you said faith is such a crucial part of your life. So how do you play that out? How are you intentional in your faith in all this?
Okay, well, it comes down, again, you know, I kind of boil back to strategy on all these things. Because, you know, we can talk about organizational strategy, whether it's church or whether it's work or whatever it may be. But you also need to have a personal strategy. And you really need to think about what are the things that are important to you. And in what order are they important to you? And what are the steps you're taking to make sure that you're getting there where you need to go? My personal feeling is that God didn't put us on earth just to sit around and be lazy and do the things that we want to do, but to use the opportunity to learn more so that we can advance the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, right? You know, kind of thing. And so so I believe that the spiritualness, my religious experience, has to be at the top of my priority list. So what you have to do is when something's important to you, you have to be able to carve out the time. And I'll tell you, one of the best teachers of this was Maxine Miller. I don't know how many of you knew Maxine Miller, but she was incredible. You know, and the thing is, she didn't have a phone. She didn't have a smartphone to help her organize her time. She had pen and paper, you know. And her calendar was just stuffed with things. And I asked her once, I said, Maxine, how do you cram so many things in your schedule? And she said to me, she said, Ed, if it's important, God will make a way. God will find a way to make it happen. And she did. I mean, it was incredible the things she did. Martha's Kitchen and Habitat for Humanity and all the different missions things that Maxine did was just incredible. So, you know, I take those kind of experiences and I say, okay, when am I going to set aside the time to do these things? Okay, if exercise is important to me, where am I going to find the time to do it? How many of you have said, I need to exercise more? How many of you have actually done something about it? You know, okay, sometimes that's a different set of hands, right? You know? And so what I've done is I've set up, at work, we're a lean operation, lean enterprise, lean manufacturing. And one of the things that's a part of lean is what's called a kata. And a kata is it's a routine this supports your strategic deployment. Okay, so the things that are important to you, you develop a routine that makes those things happen. So what I do is, and boy, did I get grief over this between services. I get up at 4:30 in the morning. That's my routine because that's when I could carve out time. Because it's tough to carve it out in the middle of the day. It's tough to carve it out at night. But in the morning, there's nobody to pester you. There's nobody to get in your way. And it's when you can do the things that you really want to do. And I think, to me, the most important thing is, first off, right off the bat, is to spend time with God. Okay, so if I carve that out, if God is really that important to me in my life, that's the first thing I want to do. So the first thing I do is read the Bible. And then I do a meditation on what I just read and then pray. And then when that's done is when I carve out the time to change my clothes, get my exercise stuff on, and get on my crazy bike and go out and ride around Bowling Green in the mornings. So if you see this crazy guy on a bike with these flashing lights going off in his vest or whatever, that's me, okay? That's me about 5 in the morning, 5, 6 in the morning, traveling around
Bowling Green. They're not up, so.
Oh, you're not up then. Okay. But anyway, that's where I carve out time for those things that are important to me. And then, of course, you know, going to work and making sure things there are disciplined and going on. That's how I do those sorts of things. So, does that answer your question?
Yeah. You know, I enjoyed what Alex said, mentioned from his father, even though it was kind of cheesy, that the good things aren't necessarily always God things. So in your life, how do you discern between the good things and the God things?
Yeah, that's tough because there are a lot of good things that happen in life. And you really have to prioritize what those things are. Sandra and I are very, very committed to hunger, especially child hunger. And those are things that we are committed to, and we like to find organizations that we can donate to that combat those kinds of things or whatever. And I tell you that, to me, the thing is that when you've centered your life and you started your day and you started your week and your month and all those things, when you're centered on Christ and you're centered on the things of God, then all these other things come into focus. Now, I might be wrong, Amy. I could be wrong that, you know, these good things that I don't deal with, they may be God things, but there are other God things that I know of through prayer and through the time I spend are the right things for me to address. And so that's kind of how I focus on what things I say yes to and no to.
Okay. You know, we had more of our younger families at the 9 a.m., and they have kind of a different schedule. More of our retirees are at this service. And I know that in my work, I assume that scheduling a lunch with some retirees will be easy. But I found that some people, I'm scheduling a month out. So you may be eyeing retirement in the next couple of years. How is this going to play out?
Well, that's because we've had a little bit of a chat about this. Not that I'm counting the days, but December 31st, 2021, I'm going to be retiring. So, you know, this is all plan. And again, I'm very planful in the things I do. So I'm already in that process at work of starting to, you know, get the field sort of laid out, you know, of who will take on for me. And then the plan is by this October to have named that person and then all next year to be training them. And then me starting to step out of that thing. So the way I view retirement is not to sit around and watch The Price is Right all day long. That's kind of not my deal. But there's so many opportunities out there for youth in particular. And I know that youth keeps popping up with me, right? Because I'm so committed to youth. It's the future not only of the country, of the world, but it's the future of our church as well. And we need to make sure we're committed to youth and helping them grow and do those sorts of things. But volunteering at school, volunteering at church, you know, doing those kinds of things. I was a music major, was my undergrad back in the 70s. That's why I said hi to the choir first, by the way. Big heart for you guys. But yeah, I was a music major with a choral emphasis. And so I have a lot of things I want to do in the music side as well. So I'm sure my time will be very, very busy in retirement, but a fruitful busy, not just a busy just to go out and go shopping and things like that.
Sure, I like that. And finally, I think throughout both the Old and New Testament, there's a lot of teaching about Sabbath and rest. How does this play out in your life?
Yeah, well, that's interesting because it is very difficult, especially in international travel, because a lot of times you're traveling over weekends and you're traveling at times. Although, on the other hand, you have a lot of time to spend in airports or to spend, you know, in your hotel room or those sorts of things. So those are always good times, great time to read the Bible, great time to do some of those sorts of things. But for me, the 4:30 a.m. thing is I don't exercise every morning. I exercise every other day. And so on the days when I'm not exercising, gives me extra time to spend on the devotional side of things. And one of the things I try to do on those days when I have additional time is to take time to listen to God. My devotional, my prayer time is often spent praying actually for you all. I use At First Glance and the prayer requests that come in over the internet and things like that. I have people that I pray for on a routine basis, like Dina and Meg, Marveline, and people who've lost loved ones, those people, and others in our congregation, that sort of thing. But on those days, I like to be able to stop and pray for God. Because in our sinful nature, I sometimes think that he must think we're such idiots, you know. He must be so angry and just so sad at the way we are, but I pray for the Lord. And then I also pray just to reflect and shut up and be silent and try to listen for guidance. And that's kind of what I see as my Sabbath, is to be able to get that feedback.
All right. Any other free tips?
Yeah, I will say one other thing. You know, when we talk about carving time out, one of the ways to carve time out is to stop stupid things. And by that, I mean, what I do is, you know, like when the media is going crazy about the coronavirus and things like that. You know, and some of that's valid. I'm not saying it's not. But, you know, when it gets to the point where it's just hypersensitization, I just turn off the TV. I don't watch reality TV. I don't watch things that don't bring value, you know. And if you want to carve time out to get that exercise in, then don't watch The Bachelorette. Turn it off. Go get on. You know, do some reasonable things, all right? But anyway, that's just my last piece of advice there that I would say.
All right.
And I know you're making your way down, Ed, but I really appreciated how you started talking about yourself. Some of the things, your family, and where you spend your time. And finally, you got to your job. And so I really appreciated how you kind of framed yourself and your priorities as we've been talking about time and all that. But friends, as we wrap up, will you pray with me? God, we crave moments when we can come and we can sit at your feet like Mary, where we can let things fall away, distractions escape our minds, and just be in your presence. Connect with you and feel the call you place on us, so that our time is not in good things, but in your things, God. And so continue to open us to your movement, your presence, and to the things which you call us to spend our time on. In your name we pray. Amen.